If you don't mind putting the next slide up, I'm going to talk about this guy. Wow. He typically stood right about here for with our choir. And let me tell you just a little story about Troy. We've known him here probably, I don't know, 3.5 years, maybe 4 years. And God knew what was going to happen because I believe God is sovereign. God also works in circumstances. And so Troy, when we met him, he came into this building on a Wednesday night. Because we had on our digital sign out front that said choir practice tonight, which we probably only did for a week. And Troy at that time was walking by. He was living in a tent, had been living in a tent for a long time. He saw that invitation, that announcement on our sign, and just walked in the door. He came in, he sat right about here, and he indeed was homeless, and he looked the part. I remember Jen was there, and I was in the building, and time to time we have people, just because of our location, because our doors are open, just wander in for various reasons. Some of them are good things, some of them are a little bit questionable. And Jen was a little nervous, said, "Hey, can you come in here?" And so I came in, and I sat down next to Troy and just started engaging him with a conversation. Always, even from that moment, he had this big, big smile on his face. Right? It's probably one of the things I'm going to miss most. And here he was in his present condition, struggling. He had some mental health struggles, and there were some struggles in his life. And so we embraced Troy then. And over the course of the next 3.5 years, you, this congregation, embraced Troy. He came in, and you loved him. You mentored him, became his friend. Troy, over these years, got a house or a place to live. He got a bike, he got some clothes. More importantly, he got some friends and a community and a place to serve and a place where he knew he was going to be welcomed. Troy was baptized right back here. And he was discipled in this church, loved by so many. God knew in his sovereignty, knowing what was going to happen, said, "I'm going to have the sign turned on when he walks by. I'm going to send Troy to that place." Now, we didn't know how much time he had left. He was murdered last Sunday night, into Monday. Still don't know all the details, still playing for justice. 27 years old. But I know this. The last 3 years of his life, 3.5, 4 years of his life, there were some good years. Where people showed him Christ, people embraced him, people loved him. Remember the big hugs I'd get from Troy, like, "I love you, Dave," and he came in kind of larger than life, with a big smile, kind of like that smile, right? That was taken for our directory about 4 weeks ago. And so I'm grateful to the Lord and his work in this congregation,
grateful for you, that you continue to open the doors of this place and the doors of your heart and the doors of the gospel to whomever may walk in. And God could have sent Troy to any church, but he said, I know the right place for Troy. I'm going to put him with those people for that time. That's incredible to me, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that God puts people, and you've heard this word already, in families. And Troy Snyder was a brother, was a friend. Some of us in here served with him. Some of us worshiped right beside him. He usually sat right over there. Many of you prayed for him and you walked with him. And now we're here, right? We find ourselves in a moment where words feel thin, where questions perhaps pile up, where grief sits heavy on the heart. So when the people of God face tragedy, we don't pretend it doesn't hurt. We don't rush past the sorrow. The truth is that Scripture never calls us to minimize loss. It calls us to bring it before the Lord. And we grieve or lament honestly. We cling strongly to the promises of God. And we talk humbly together as a family under the care of Christ. So before we step into our text today, I want you to know and I want you to remember that you are not alone in your grief. God is near. God is near to the brokenhearted. This is a promise of Scripture. We cling strongly to the promises of God, and we walk together. Christ's light remains unshaken, and his promises are not broken, even in tragic loss and heartache. The anchor still holds. So in God's sovereign kindness, he's placed before us a passage this morning that speaks directly into what it means to walk with one another through brokenness, through sin, through suffering, and through the realities of a world still full of evil and corruption. So we're going to come again to Galatians and to chapter 6, a passage that calls this church to be a restoring, burden-bearing, cross-boasting community. It's not by accident that this passage is here before us in the wake of a tragic situation that took Troy's life. I see it as God shepherding us, pastoring us, in his care for a moment that we did not expect. So we're going to turn to this passage. If you have a Bible, go ahead, open it up, Galatians chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles right in front of you, and you can open it up to page 1004. Today we're going to look at this last chapter of this letter, in the last installment of this sermon series in the book of Galatians. Now in this chapter, like the previous one, there are many things to consider, many things to follow, and I'm not going to cover them all. However, we're going to read it together in its entirety, okay? And we pray, and you have been prayed for, that the Spirit would be working among us, which I believe He has been working among us. You do that as well. So we're going to read it. I'm going to come back. I'm just going to highlight just a few of the truths for us to consider and to hold on to and to practice. So before we read this, I'm just going to pause and pray. So let's do that. God, as you know, this is the emotional Sunday for many of us here today who knew Troy. God, I have no idea I have some idea of what he's experiencing now. He is in a safe place, his forever home. He is with you. God, I don't know the details of his last hours or his last moments. I don't know that. But I do know that he knew you. I do know that Jesus, you said, to be away from the body is to be present with the Lord. And in some regards, his voice still echoes out. And this song he was practicing and anticipating singing just today, one of his favorites. We're grateful for the cross. We're grateful for your word. We're grateful for your presence. We're grateful for this passage today. It reminds us and continues to spur us on to continue to do good, to continue to persevere, not grow weary in well-doing. As Jesus, you said through the pen of Paul that we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. And God, you know who's here today, you know who's listening. You know the condition of every person. Some in this building are doing just fine. Many are tired. Fallen world. Sin that is pervasive. Struggles in our own life. God, will you continue to meet with us? Help us to know and receive and experience your love. Thank you for giving us the body of Christ, the family of God, and your grace. Troy heard his last message of grace. Jesus is all that is necessary. And so we walk in that truth. We're still here. We're still running our race. God, help us to do that as people, individuals, and as people connected in community. So we trust you, God. I don't know what's going to happen today, but we trust you regardless because you are the beginning and the end. You are true, you are righteous, you are holy. You know what you're doing. You make all things right in the end. So I entrust myself, we entrust ourselves to you again today, holding on to what matters most, standing on the truths that we believe, living them out as best as we know how, sometimes well and sometimes not so good. But yet moving forward, continuing on, getting up, looking to you, and resting in your promises. So help us as we read this passage today and talk about these things. Help us to love you and each other well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay. I do cry a lot, by the way. I also laugh a lot, which is a good thing. It's part of living in this world and loving people. And it's good to cry at times, and it's good to laugh at times. Okay, Galatians 6. Here we go. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you live by the Spirit to restore that person gently. Hey, but watch yourselves. Or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now, if anyone thinks they're something when they're not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For also, each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. So don't be deceived. God can't be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Now, whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh they'll reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So let us not become weary in doing good. For in the proper time, we will receive a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let's do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Paul then turns and writes this portion in his own handwriting. Before this, he had a secretary, more than likely Timothy or Barnabas, we don't know. But this is how he ends the letter, starting with verse 11. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Verse 12. Now, those who want to impress people, and Paul gets back to this for a moment, this whole book is speaking the truth against these folks. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason that they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. They're actually cowards. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law. Yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. Paul said, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Now, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. You know what counts? It's new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble. So I bear in my body the marks of Jesus. Paul was whipped, by the way. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. Whew. So much powerful things here. So much truth that we can hang on to and apply. There's verses in this passage that have gotten me through. Especially when you want to give up. These things help us. So I'm just going to point out three reminders for us, three areas in which we can incorporate into our living as a family. That'll help us to mature, help us to grow, help us to keep our doors open, our hearts open. They help us. First thing I want to point out is this. Number one, that we are to restore the broken with a spirit of gentleness. Did you catch that? Paul begins this final chapter with a family responsibility, something we're responsible to do as a believing family, a group together, as we live by the Spirit with each other. He says, brothers and sisters, should be the next slide, there it is. If someone is caught in a sin, you live by the Spirit to restore that person gently. And by the way, when he says someone caught in a sin, it's not like, oh, they caught me. Like I was hiding and I got caught. That's not what this is saying. What it's saying is, if you are tangled up in sin, right? Hebrews talks about that, the sin that so easily entangles us, that you're bound by something, caught in something, tangled up and bound up. We are to restore the person in a spirit of gentleness. That matters, by the way, how we do what we do. And the word restore, by the way, is the same used for mending fishnets, something that's been ripped or torn, that we examine it and we see something torn. We go to restore it. It also means like a resetting of a dislocated bone. Something isn't right, and it's a resetting of that bone, wherever that may be. It's restoring to wholeness. This restoration, it's patient and painstaking. It's careful. It's healing work. You hear me? Healing work, helping one another. This is what we do for one another. This is what we're called to do for each other. We help each other walk again. Get up on our feet. Help each other breathe. Again, a little easier, a little fuller, a little deeper. We help each other believe again. Especially when faith may seem thin. We help restore each other. We do this. This is the ministry of the body. Restore each other from the rocks and the ribs of sin. It can leave our lives in tatters. Or put us out of joint and in pain, so then we again can function as we are designed. Paul says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So we have to ask ourselves, what's the law of Christ? Like, what is this? Jesus made it clear. In John chapter 13, a new command I give you. Here it is. Love one another. And he qualifies that as I have loved you, right? You just think about the love of Christ, the love that he's shown us. So much in that. So you must love one another. So this is love and humility, love with gentleness, love with endurance, love sacrificially and repeatedly. Carry each other's burdens. Mornings like this, days like today, our grief, as mine is just kind of on the surface. It's right there. Days like today, this passage becomes very real. The church is not a collection of perfect people. Great response, by the way. Yeah, you know yourself. I know me. But we are a people who bear burdens together. Some of you carry the burden of sorrow today. Some carry fear. Some carry regrets. Some carry hidden sin they're scared about. Some carry exhaustion. We all carry something. But none of these burdens were meant to be carried alone. Do you hear me? In moments like this, God says to his church, hey, slow down. Look around. Someone near you may be staggering. Go to them. Lift them up. Restore what is weakened. Bind what is broken. This is how the Spirit forms Christ and his people. This is how we're going to walk with each other. This is how we walk with each other. Means that we must make space for each other. Tell the truth to each other. In love. Right? Trust ourselves to each other. Which is hard for those of you who have been hurt. And most of us have been hurt in one way or the other. Build relationships by being trustworthy and vulnerable with each other. Restore the broken with a spirit of gentleness. It's good to be in the family of God. We all need this. Second thing I'm going to point out to us here is do not grow weary in doing good. In times of loss, it's especially easy to grow weary. Weariness is not a sin. It's a part of being a human in a fallen world. Weariness can become dangerous, by the way, if it leads to withdrawal, to being closed off, to isolating ourselves, or to stop sowing the seeds of faith and obedience. Paul in this passage turns his eyes to this reality, this spiritual reality. Hey, don't be deceived. God can't be mocked. A person receives what he or she sows. So this isn't harsh, it's just reality. It's fatherly, it's pastorally, if that's a word. God is reminding his children how life in the Spirit works. And you can go back just one chapter, right, to the fruits of the flesh or the fruits of the Spirit. And the truth is, if we sow to the flesh, that's the old nature, sow things like resentment and bitterness or selfishness or strife, pick your poison, or jealousy. If you live these things, sow these things, so to speak, what are you going to reap? Destruction. Both here in this life and in the life to come. However, if we choose to sow to the Spirit, in the Spirit, with His help, our new creation, as Paul points out, which matters, things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, if we live in and look to see these things grown in us, we reap life, both in this life and the life to come. This is how it works. Some people sow into our lives, and some things we sow into other people's lives. So this passage calls us to make intentional spiritual choices, even if and especially when our hearts are heavy and life is difficult. It's easy to rejoice in good times. It's actually more powerful and profound to rejoice in suffering. May we rejoice at all times, not in everything, but continue to praise like our dear friend Job. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Then Paul gives one of the most needed encouragements, particularly for a grieving church. Let us not grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary. The right time, proper time. You can underline this. We will, okay? That's a promise right there. Conditional, by the way. Don't grow weary in doing good, and talk about how to do that. For if you keep going at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So, of course, the temptation is when things are difficult to just tap out, to numb out, to pull out, to protect yourself emotionally. But hear the Lord's voice through Paul. Do not give up. Do not grow weary. Keep loving. Keep praying. Keep forgiving. Keep serving. Keep singing. Keep sowing seeds of faith. Because God's promise remains true. In due season, you will reap a harvest. So do not give up. And there is times in your life where you want to. And there's people you have known who have just tapped out. Paul could say this because Paul lived it. I think there was times when Paul was like, shipwrecked, abandoned, forgotten, beaten time and time and time again, traveling from place to place, people throwing rocks at him to kill him, imprisonment. Paul is writing this not from his mansion, he's writing this from a prison cell. How you start matters. How you finish matters even more. Do not grow weary. Especially now, God's promises remain true. And then Paul adds to this, therefore, if we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Okay, marching orders, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. It's prioritization. Do good to everybody, but if you have opportunity, especially do good to those in your family, your church community, especially now in grief and difficulty, when times are the darkest. This is where the beauty of the church shines the brightest. And when the world sees a people who carry each other, pray for each other, cry together, sit together, give generously and love sacrificially, they see Christ. John 13:35 says that. So we are a people who walk in the Spirit, which means we do good wherever and however, especially prioritizing those in the families of believers, those in this room, those who are connected to this body. That's one of the beauties and the strength of the church and being a part of a church. I wish all believers were a part of a church. So one of the most damnable tactics of the enemy. Conquer. Or divide and conquer. So we need to make time and room for this. Right? We have to make space. See what God does in your life and through your life and in this church. The church is called to commit to one another because we are committed to Christ. Do you understand that? Commit to Christ, therefore we walk in the Spirit, therefore we commit to each other. This is the last thing we're going to say, or the last point. Boast only in the cross. Did you see that? Paul closes the letter with his own hand, emphasizing the central truth of the gospel, saying, Paul said, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So why the cross? Because the cross, Jesus entered the darkest places of human suffering. Because in the cross, Jesus conquered the very evil that steals life. Because in the cross, Jesus broke the power of sin and death and hell. Because in the cross, our greatest need is met with the greatest love. Because all we have is need, and all we need is Him. Through Christ, we have been given a new heart, a new life, a new power, a new purpose. And Acts records this, that in Him we live and move and we have our being. So in weeks like this, days like this, the cross becomes more than a doctrine, but a shared reality. A sure anchor that holds fast. In every wave, and there are waves that crash upon the shores of our souls. Every wind, through every storm, this life holds. The truth is that evil does not have the last word. Violence does not have the last word. Perfect timing. Even death doesn't have the last word. The cross declares Jesus has the last word. So because of that, Paul can end this entire letter, the letter or the book of Galatians, with a benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirits, brothers and sisters. And notice that your spirit is written here. So when your heart is crushed, when your mind is confused, when your soul is trembling, God does not merely give you ideas. Gives you grace, gives you His Spirit, and filling us, and strengthening us, and comforting us, and giving us what we need to continue to press on. In the midst of sorrows and sufferings and trials and tribulations, knowing that we will reap, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. So do not give up. Christ is worth it. His word is real. And lives matter. You never know who's going to walk into your door. Be ready to embrace. Be ready to connect. Be ready to do good. And see what God does. Jesus has made us a new creation, and that's what counts. That's what matters. In this way, we're made new, and his light shines in us, especially when the darkness is at its blackest. Keep the faith. Keep shining. Keep walking. Keeping in step with the Spirit that God has placed in you. Walk according to the Spirit. So I'm going to invite up the worship team. I'm going to conclude here. They can come up. The kids are getting ready downstairs. Hannah is still with us, doing triple duty today. So a few thoughts as we conclude. We might go just a tad over. So question, so how do we walk forward from here? There's more suggestions for you. Well, one, we walk with honesty. We acknowledge the pain. We cry together. We ask God for mercy, for comfort, for justice. We walk with gentleness. Galatians 6 calls us to be restorers, menders, burden bearers, patient helpers with one another. Walk with perseverance. Keep sowing seeds of faith. Keep loving. Keep serving. Ask God to help you to not grow weary in doing good. Walk in hope, because we boast not in our strength, but the cross of Christ, where evil is defeated, brokenness is made whole. We have this in part, but someday we'll have this in whole. This is what we long for when Christ makes all things new. But now we continue to persevere through brokenness, bear burdens that are time are too much for us. We look towards the prize for the goal that Christ is calling us heavenward in Christ Jesus. We love each other. We love this world. We remain together. We run together. We do good together. We do that in boasting in the cross, knowing that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is with us for his glory and also for our good. So God, here we are. We're going to sing, because that's what we do. We do it to remind ourselves of what's true. Thank you at times that we can gather. Thank you for a place that we can gather in. Thank you that you've given us a reason to gather. And that your grace is with us to the end of the age. In all places like Kenya, the far out bush, and beyond. Thank you for your goodness to us. Draw us close to you. Again, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.